Hello, everyone. Welcome to the John and Joe Show podcast. My name is John Kerr, publisher of the Kerr Report newsletter. You can find it at kerr.substack.com. I am now joined by the Joe portion of the John and Joe Show. Formerly wrote sports columns for the Daily Herald. Now he designs pages and edits copy for Shaw Media, proud Mundelein Mustang and Northern Illinois Husky. His name is Joe Aguilar. Joe, how are you?
Hey, John, doing well. Happy New Year, right? And we have not done a pod, I think, since 2021. So here we are in mid-February, but good to be back with you and our guest today.
Yeah.
We all know this guy.
We do, and we figured it was topical for a number of reasons. One, the return of the Boise State basketball tournament, a tradition for a very, very long time. Happy to have back. And someone very instrumental for the last 20 years in making this happen, but also somebody comes from a background of coaching and basketball. His name is Kurt Gibson, and he is the Associate Executive Director of the Illinois High School Association in charge of boys basketball. Kurt, welcome to the John Joe Show. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. And thanks for having me today.
No, thanks for coming on. And as we tape this on February the 17th, we've got the beginning of the postseason in boys basketball. The regular season just about over. There might be a few more games maybe here this week. But I know that some of the regional quarterfinal games, I believe, are Saturday. And then we start the regional semifinal games the week after. So first question, Kirk, just a topical thing happening we know, which is about some of the COVID mitigations here and certainly about masking happening throughout the state. What can you tell us about the state tournament and the state series part of it in regards to masking and then the actual state tournament happening in Champaign in March?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. And you're right. It is very timely. About a week ago, our office sent out communication to the entire membership and to licensed officials that the postseason will be conducted as we think about masking based on whatever procedures the host or the venue has in place. So if a school, for example, is hosting a regional tournament or a sectional tournament and they're a mask optional school, then they'll communicate that to the, you know, everybody's coming in, officials, fans, and they'll be able to be mask optional. If somebody was more restrictive than that would be the guidelines that'll be followed. It sure seems like most districts or a lot of districts anywhere are moving in that mask optional direction. So we expect a lot of the tournament games will be played like that. And who knows, within the next few days, there might not be any masks that need to be worn, depending on how things play out with some of the litigation and discussions that are ongoing with the governor's office and others. When we think about the state finals at the State Farm Center, again, at this point, we're going to follow the lead from the university. Now, they've said that their policies that are in place for university events will not have to be followed for IHSA events. So, like, for example, this weekend, we've got wrestling going on, state wrestling finals going on at the State Farm Center. And so we've got a mask optional event there. And my guess would be that, you know, there'll be some people with masks on, but there'll probably be a greater majority of folks who don't. And that's fine. That's where we see things. If nothing changes from this day forward, that's how things will play out at the basketball state finals.
Hey, Kurt, it's Joe Aguilar. Thanks again for joining us. Good to see you here on the Zoom. It's been a while, right, since we had a normal state tournament. It's been
over 1,000 days.
More than 2 years, because the last time I know I was covering a basketball game was at right at the start of the pandemic. And, of course, the postseason was canceled. So, what will be different, if anything? I know we want to get back to normal as much as we can, but what do you expect it to be like? Has anything changed as far as just format or what's going to shake down? Obviously, it's it's down in Champaign this year, but what will be different, if anything?
Well, there'll be a lot of changes, Joe. It's a really good question. What I was alluding to there, March 12th is the final day of the high school boys basketball season in Illinois, and there will be some champion basketball teams crowned on that day. And it will have been over 1,000 days since since the state was able to crown a boys basketball champion. And for a state with as long of a history of high school basketball as Illinois does, that really, we're really excited, and we're just like, wow, how did all this happen? But it certainly has. anyway, so we got a lot of changes this year. Number one, we're back at the campus of the University of Illinois, and fans are going to love, if they haven't been there already, to the State Farm Center. The renovation that the university did, just incredible. The venue is truly spectacular. Now, some changes, though, with our format. One thing, the big thing that's changed is, instead of having two weekends of state final play, we're going to condense everything into one weekend. And so all four classes will begin their state tournament series games with regional quarterfinal play this Saturday, the 19th. And then next week will be 128 regionals played around the state. The next week there will be 32 sectionals. 16 super sectionals will be played on March 7th, and then we'll culminate with 3 days of state final play on March 10th through the 12th. And what is going to happen is, on Thursday, the 10th, the Class 1A and 2A semifinals will be played in a morning and afternoon session. And then that evening, the third place or consolation games in Class 1A and 2A will be played. The teams that win in the semis will then advance to Saturday. The teams that lose will play Thursday night for their third place trophy. Friday will do the same thing, only with the 3 and the 4A classes, and lead us into what we're calling Championship Saturday, where we'll have four games played. First game, I think, tips off around 11, and we'll play two games, take a little break, clear the arena, come back in at 5:30 and play the Class 3 and 4A championship games. And so it'll be a true celebration of basketball where we get to recognize four state champions. It's really going to be a special night. We're excited about it. It's going to be an intense weekend in terms of, you know, 16 games over 3 days. You know, we're going to have a lot of basketball in a short amount of time instead of spreading it out like we had done for a number of years. But we're really looking forward to it. The girls are going to follow the same kind of format, only 1 week earlier. So it's brand new. We're waiting to see how it works out. Of course, we've got a big snowstorm as we tape this hitting central Illinois. So it's impacting regional finals on the girls' side all over the state today. But we'll get through it.
Just to follow up on that, Kurt, I like that idea of the championship Saturday. You know, let's do them all together. Well, if you're a basketball, high school basketball junkie, that's where you got to be, right?
No, without a doubt.
Was this the genesis of this idea? Was this because of the pandemic and how just availability and logistics, or was it in the works even before the pandemic started a couple of years ago now?
Yeah, it was really in the works before the pandemic hit. Our board of directors had sort of charged our staff with coming up with an idea to, I'm going to use the phrase freshen the tournament up a little bit. We had heard from some of our stakeholders, mostly our schools, that in particular, the boys 3A, 4A weekend had been traditionally held the first weekend of the NCAA men's tournament. And the feeling was that it was just becoming more and more of a conflict for the high school event. Fans were being pulled away from the high school space and gravitating towards the college one. So really wanted to give some effort to try to move our event off of that weekend. We talked about maybe having still two weekends, but having the 1A and 2A boys and girls play concurrently, and then the 3A, 4A boys and girls follow up a week later, sort of combining, you know, girls and boys at one venue. But in the end, we sort of thought keeping the girls weekend special for them and keeping the boys weekend separate for them probably made the most sense. And we looked at sort of went back into our archives and said, hey, we used to do this a time or two ago when the tournament was in Champaign all those years ago with 16 teams over 3 days. Let's try it again. And our board of directors thought that sounded like a good idea. And so we're excited to be implementing that this year.
Yeah, our guest is Kurt Gibson, Associate Executive Director of the Illinois High School Association. We're talking boys basketball, the upcoming state tournament. As Mr. Gibson said, the first time in over 1,000 days. Certainly by the time we're taping this, you know, the state series hasn't begun yet, but will begin on Saturday the 19th, and then over the next couple of weeks. And again, the John and Joe show here on Thursday, February the 17th. And Kurt, again, love the idea. And it was great to hear you actually say that. Because even before we came on the show today, I was talking to Joe going, like, I think a lot of people had forgotten this because it had been so long. And the decision to move to Champaign happened, I think, in the summer of 2020, right, that this had happened. So we were in the throes of kind of COVID at that point. everything had been canceled in 2020, at least the sectionals in the state tournament. I know you got through part of the tournament in 2020, right, and that's when everything happened. I remember covering a sectional final, and then the next day everything changed. I remember sitting next to Craig Anderson at Robert Morris in Arlington Heights, watching Glenbrook South and Evanston play. And we had heard about this virus, but, you know, is it really serious? What's going to happen? And then Rudy Gobert tested positive for the Utah Jazz, and the world changed. Right. So it's remarkable to think with what's happened in these 2 years. And I want to ask you about that, about just your observations of watching basketball and paying attention to it over the last couple of years. How much of that you think has impacted the student athletes, the coaches? The fact it's coming back this year, and how much of that, certainly from a competitive perspective, you want to crown a champion, but also the fact that there's so many athletes that have not had that experience of even playing in a state tournament of any kind. Cause last year there was no state tournament, right? You had an abbreviated season and a state tournament. So talk a little bit about the importance of that, certainly of having it back, but then also just the athletes and the coaches just being able to actually play in a winner take all, right, postseason tournament and the importance of that.
Well, I think that's an important part of it's a really good question too, John. I think that being able to have a state series after this hiatus is something our schools have really been aching for, if you will. You know, probably the unsung heroes during these last couple of years are high school teachers and coaches who've been in. At first, they were, you know, separated from their students and their players. Then, you know, they sort of were able to get back and do some modified activities. Then we sort of progressed into a modified season last year. And so, you know, I really feel for the young people who've missed out on just the experience, whether you've got to be in a state tournament game or not, just the experience of being with your classmates and your coaches and working together and, you know, developing those kinds of skills that pay off so much later in life. But we're there now. We're back doing that. We wish we didn't have any mitigations. We're getting close to having those, you know, put away. And I think the thing that we've sort of gathered from our office is that people are very excited to be back in this kind of a setting and looking forward to a state tournament series. I think that during the season, we've seen a lot of anticipation to get to this point. And so we're really looking forward to the payoff because, like I said, certainly we recognize this is why coaches coach and players want to play. You know, let's play the games and see who ends up winning the games. But we really just hope that having the chance to be in the state tournament will remind people how special it is to be a part of their high school, be a part of their team, and have that opportunity to represent their school and community, you know, in a regional tournament format or setting, I should say, sectional tournament setting, or maybe in the state finals.
I will say it was nice to see some photos in one of our Shawn newspapers the other day of a basketball game and kids not wearing masks. I mean, they were not hanging around their Adam's apple. So hopefully we just continue that. And this is so fluid, Kurt, right? It could be changing as, you know, by tomorrow or the next day that it goes back and forth. I want to switch gears a little with you. And I apologize. Do you hear my dog in the background? John, you probably missed my little dog Hershey barking. The mail just came. So, she's going crazy. My little 6-pound dog.
The UPS truck drove by, right? And
how dare he? How dare he drive by?
I must protect my home from the big brown man, the evil brown man.
Kurt, I want to ask you about the constant decline of referees. I know I'm sure you've talked about it a lot. We've talked about it a lot. So many articles have been written about it. I wrote about this a year and a half ago when the pandemic was just in the throes and how a lot of guys are older guys like me and, you know, guys older than that in their 60s still reffing. And now there's a shortage. It was a nice story actually today in one of our Shaw newspapers and our Northwest Herald up in McHenry County by the great Joe Stevenson, you know, long time. I know you know, yeah. Joe, Kurt, mm-hmm. Sure. About a 17-year-old Huntley High School senior who's refereeing, and he's done some under-level games, he's done some youth games, but man, we need more kids like that. And what I'm getting at, I guess, is, you know, the IHSA is, you know, been, you know, had some great marketing campaigns, certainly the Pack the Place, which was many, many years ago now. I don't even know if you were, you, Kurt, were you with the IHSA when the Pack the Place?
I was a little before me when I started. years ago. It was sort of that initiative was sort of reaching its end. When I was in the teaching and coaching space when that got started.
Okay. Cause I was wondering if there's been any push. I know you guys got enough on your plate, I'm sure, but any idea, I mean, if you can capture that, you know, pack the place kind of, you know, a magnitude, it'd be fantastic. But yeah, anything like that to get, I don't know, bring more awareness to the we're in a dire situation here with the refs, you know, not only basketball, but football, other sports, to do something like that, some kind of mass marketing campaign. I don't know, maybe that's above all our pay grades, I guess. But to get that, because this is a real problem, is I don't have to tell you, certainly. Obviously.
Yeah, no, it's very much a real issue that we're trying to confront here right now. The number of officials we have licensing with our office continues to decline. The pandemic has, and our state's not alone in this. There have been a number of states that are feeling the same kind of crunch we are. And it is getting harder to get younger people to sign up. And, you know, we don't always have the opportunity to follow up with folks when they don't renew. But anecdotally, the kinds of feedback we get is this: there's just a lot of, how do I say this nicely? You know, there's just a lot of negativity that officials are dealing with. And it does seem to us that is a little bit greater than it's been, say, even 5 or 6 years ago. Now, maybe is everybody's frustration with the pandemic playing into that? Possibly. But I do think sometimes the important role officials play. And when people, you know, give these folks really an unnecessarily hard time, it's driving them out of the game. And that's not the only reason, but that's certainly a big reason that we're hearing about anecdotally from folks, is like, you know, I just don't need to put up with this kind of, you know, stuff from the stands. But it does impact, you know, then, you know, how games are played in the sense of, you know, schools are used to, in different sports, having, you know, two or three games going on in their facility on a given night, and there just aren't officials to do two or three games anymore. Maybe they're looking to do a freshman game offsite one night and maybe two games another night, where they used to be doing three games from 4, 5:30 and 7 or something on a given night. So it's impacting things that we do. Now, with the state tournament, we're fortunate. We've got a lot of good quality officials. And I would tell you that it also seems to be a little bit, I don't want to say cyclical, but sort of in some pockets of the state, probably have more officials than we need. Not that we need, but we have more officials than we have games. And then there are other places where we're a little tight. And it's what this new format's going to do with all these games being played concurrently. It's going to give a lot of new officials an opportunity to work in the postseason. And we're excited about that, and hope that they have a really good experience when they're working with some veteran folks.
It was funny, guys, in the article today, the kid, now again, he's 17 years old. He was talking about officiating a youth game, and one of the opposing coaches was riding him. And the older referee who did the game with him was saying just how well he handled that. But I can't imagine a grown man berating a 17-year-old kid in a youth game, let alone, I mean, not that it's right at the varsity level either, but yeah, but
we hear a lot of those stories, unfortunately. Hear a lot of them, too many of them.
Yeah.
No, they happen. As a youth coach, I've seen it. You know, I coached football, Kurt, and we had some younger officials this past season. And, you know, me being Irish Catholic, I'm very introverted. You know, so we're not a very vocal. You know, we are taught to internalize our emotions.
Sure, right.
So, but you had to say, okay, this is a 16, 17 year old. You want to encourage this person to continue to participate. And I think there is a difference between questioning at a call and berating somebody at times. Yeah. But the challenge with basketball is you are so close. Sometimes in these non-varsity games, there's maybe 50 people in the stands, and all it takes is one jerk, right? All it takes is one, and you can hear that person.
Right.
That's where the football game sometimes it gets drowned out by all the noise. But I would just keep encouraging young people to do it, and you may want to offer a gas stipend too. You know, that may be something you may want to look at some point.
Yeah. Well, one thing we do offer to our schools, and we communicate this yearly and whatnot, but if they have students who want to become officials, they can the school can provide a free license to those students. So they can sign up for free. And we also started something this year for educators at schools, like a teacher or somebody, a teacher's aide or whatever, wants to become an official. They can sign up to license at a reduced rate and actually have a couple of years of a reduced licensing fee, I'll call it. Again, you know, we think if in a perfect world, school folk understand the interscholastic process pretty well, and they know how to work with young people, they know how to work with coaches, maybe just because of their, you know, their day-to-day jobs. And so we tried to come up with something to try to draw that kind of group into the officiating ranks as well. So we're trying to do a couple of things, but certainly, you know, we need to come up with something else that'll be that magic elixir that'll bring even more people to the avocation of officiating.
Yeah, Kurt, real quick, before I don't want to have a few more minutes with you, I want to ask you a question about the shot clock here. But real quick, where can people go? Can you give just a web address for people listening? You may, hey, that sounds appealing to me. Where can I go get more information about that?
Yeah, if they go to our website, which is www.ihsa.org, they can navigate to that website, and across the top of all of our pages, you'll see a link there, a category that says officials. You can move your cursor to that drop down. You go right into our official center or our officials platform, I should say, and learn all about how to become an official, have other kind of resources there you could peruse and see if that's of any interest to you.
Okay, great stuff. And our last couple minutes here with Kurt Gibson Kurt Gibson. I almost said Kirk Gibson, which I'm sure you've had happen to you.
Kurt's getting that a lot.
A thousand times of, Vin Scully calling the game-winning home run in 1988, right? So, Kurt, before we let you go here, I want to ask you about another topical subject in basketball in Illinois, which is the shot clock.
Right.
Can you update us on where things are with that at this time?
Yeah, I sure can. When the National Federation of State High School Associations announced that states could begin adopting the shot clock as a plain rule beginning next school year, our board of directors began talking about what that might look like in Illinois and how we might get to a point where they would decide whether and when we're going to implement the shot clock. So our board of directors and our staff had heard a couple of different times from coaches, a segment of the coaching population here in our state, that they felt, coaches felt, it was a good idea to have a shot clock as soon as possible. Our board of directors wanted to get some feedback from school administrators. So when we were out at in our legislative season, if you will, this past fall, conducting town meetings all around the state, we took some time to ask attendees really three short questions about the shot clock to gauge the administrative interest in adopting the shot clock, and if so, when that might be. We also encouraged our administrators to go back to their schools, talk with their coaches, get some feedback from the coaches, maybe have the administrator share some of their thoughts on the matter. So we got the feedback from the school administrators in November. Our board then put out those same three questions to high school basketball coaches, and they can respond to that. We've had some talk with them about where they can do that, but they're providing their feedback as well. And the plan is, once this winter season is over, probably in April, but it might be a little later, our board's going to talk at a board meeting and really try to figure out what direction we take with the shot clock. I've said it feels more inevitable than anything. I could see our director, Craig Anderson's indicated that if it's something the board is willing to entertain, it's probably something best that's phased in over a period of time. I don't know that we're ready to jump in, you know, full bore. When you start talking about, you know, the cost of a shot clock, well, it's not, you know, super expensive. It's still money that has to be budgeted for. So you've got the hard cost of putting in the technology. You've got the cost of an added person at your, you know, your scores table on, you know, 15 to 20 nights a season. So that's just some of the hard, you know, some of the dollars and cents cost, but because the other things like figuring out what levels we would use it at and all that kind of stuff, that'll eventually play itself out. But really the first question is that our board of directors will answer is this one of, are we going to do it? And if so, when's that going to take effect? But I would expect that there'll be some kind of phased in approach where there'll be a time for people to put it in and experiment with it. maybe use it in the regular season, and then another year or whatever down the road, say, okay, we've had 3 years now to get ready for this, or whatever the number is. Now we're going to be doing it full time, regular season, postseason. Here we go, Illinois.
Hey, Kurt, we know you got to run here. Really appreciate your time. So looking forward to March Madness again. Man, it's been too long, like you said, right?
Too long. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a special week, those state finals. It means a lot to our office. It always has and it always will. And we're really chomping at the bit. We still got a lot of work to do. You know, we're getting a little swamped right now. We're going to get through that feeling, and we're going to have a really great show there in that second week in March at the State Farm Center.
Well, yeah, and I think, Kurt, as we talked about, just the anticipation of this for 3 years, right, until we've actually had a state tournament, but also the fact that this state, as you said, has such a rich history in basketball, and having a state tournament that goes back, what, to the early part of the 20th century, right? I think it was
around the turn of the century.
I mean, 100 years, right? Mm-hmm. So you're talking about that.
And it was like 1904.
In Champaign, and then it went to Peoria, I think, in the mid-90s, right? And then now back to Champaign. I know some people might miss kind of the fan experience, right, that you guys had there in Peoria. There's some things there for the fans, but I have not been to a game yet in Champaign this year for the Illini, but if you watch the games on television, I've been there before. I've been there usually once a year. I go to a game, and it's much different than, you know, the old Assembly Hall. If you haven't been to the State Farm Arena, it is much, just in terms of what they've done with the refurbishment. So it'll be a great time. And I know for Joe and I, we'll, in terms of who's going to be there, right, that's a different conversation, right? Who in 4A, 3A, looks like it's pretty wide open in terms of what teams are going to be there.
Yeah.
Right, Kurt? I mean, it seems like it's pretty competitive. There's no real dominant team from what I can tell.
I think it's, there are some teams that people talk a lot about, but it seems to me like it's going to be, as always, incredibly competitive. Who finds their that team chemistry and plays well. You know, there's always some challenges too on the tournament trail, so you're going to have to overcome an upset bit or two along the way. But we're looking for, I never like to guess because I'm always wrong. I'm horrible in those kinds of pools and that kind of thing. So I just want good games right, that people feel good about, and no controversy. That's right, what we like in our state tournament.
And we still have the 3-point contest, right?
We do. That's going to be held on both the girls and boys tournament on the Saturday of the finals before the championship game starts. So we're going to crown some top 3-point shooters as well. Then we'll have the Queen and King of the Hill shoot-offs in between the first two championship games on Saturday. So that'll culminate as well on the final day of the season.
Awesome information, man.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. Appreciate the time.
Thank you, Kurt. Bye.
Appreciate coming on. Kurt Gibson, again, Associate Executive Director of the Illinois High School Association. We're talking about boys basketball, a little bit of girls basketball too. That's actually happening right now. You've got regional championships, I think, being played tonight in a lot of areas all over the state. But the boys basketball thing certainly starting this weekend. Thanks again, Kurt. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. See you.
Take care. Again, Kurt Gibson of the Illinois High School Association. And Joe, just a couple pieces of news, I think, from the interview with Kurt. One is that the COVID mitigations, meaning masking, will be up to the host site.
Yep.
So we're going to see these inconsistencies. We'll see some schools that will enforce it, some will not. We're recording this in the afternoon on the 17th, there's an appellate court ruling happening in Sangamon County, which is where our state capital lies, Springfield. That may impact this as well. So this could change in the hours or the days. So you, when you're designing your pages at night there at Shaw Media, you'll probably be seeing some photos of kids with the masks around their Adam's apple, some who are not. The absurdity continues. And the other part that was a shot clock aspect of this, which again, which has sort of been lost in all the COVID masking debate, mm-hmm. that is a real possibility here. This will be the last season that we're going to have no shot clock, and beginning that, it looks like they'll do a phase in process with this, all the reasons that Kurt stated. But the impact of that and how that could change the game, I'm in favor of it. I don't want to speak for you. I'll let you respond when I finish here in a second. Because I think that's the way the game is headed, the direction of the game. It's more offensive minded. The coaches I talk to almost unilaterally are in favor of the shot clock.
Yeah, and I understand. We also know coaches, John, who don't want it.
Yes, no, agreed.
It'll change things, but I do think the game needs it. Look, I understand if you're a coach and you don't have the athletes or you don't have the players slowing the game down. That's, you know, and you want to win games ultimately. That's your best option. So I get that part of it, but I also think the game needs to be a little more entertaining. We've talked about this before, even before the pandemic. I am curious, like, and John, you and I talked before the show about this, about the logistics involved. You know, again, it won't be a monster expense, as Kurt mentioned, but it will be an expense. And then just making sure it runs, if it operates, do people know what if it's not working one game? Then what are you doing? And what are the all the protocols you have to go through in a worst case scenario? Maybe, you know, for whatever reason, the shot clock isn't working. And, you know, we don't have one. We couldn't afford it. Wasn't in our budget. So what? Now, you know, there are different rules then. So I'm sure they'll work through all that. But I like the idea of kind of going about this slowly and not just boom, here it is starting next season. And you know, for a full schedule, you might have to tweak things a little bit along the way, but I'm sure they would figure that out. And you know what, if it doesn't work after a couple of years, whatever, then you get rid of it. But we've seen certain rules come and go. So I think that's what we'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah. It appears that the overwhelming majority of coaches, I think, in their survey would like it, but with, I hate to use this word, mitigations, but with those mitigations being, what's the length of the shot clock? Is it going to be 35 seconds? Right. Is it going to be, I think some may say, hey, if it's 35, we don't want it any less than 35 seconds. We might want a little bit longer than that, maybe 40 seconds, 45 seconds. The argument is, say, certainly if you are a less talented team, maybe you want to be longer because that gives you an opportunity maybe to shorten the game because it's you don't have to rush a shot off in 30 seconds. So again, so we'll see how things kind of play out. More conversation on that as we go. And one other thing too, Rule, I did not mention that Kurt said was about the masking mitigations in Champaign, which I believe that, as he said, at the wrestling tournament this weekend, that it is a mask optional environment. And I believe that's what it is in Champaign or whatever county health department they're going by. So, and the way we are headed with masking, I'm not surprised by anything, Joe, but I would believe that we will not be having to watch basketball games with kids fiddling with masks and having, you know, kids shooting 3-point shots and, you know, with their faces muzzled. We're heading in a direction where that will be eliminated entirely, or again, give families and parents and parents the choice in that matter. So last couple minutes here of the John and Joe show here, Joe, I know from a basketball perspective, again, listeners of the show know you and I are not out there every night covering games like we were when we first started the podcast, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, up to a couple of years ago. But it appears I mentioned to Kurt that this thing is sort of wide open, I think, from the boys' perspective. I know there's some really good teams up in our neck of the woods in Lake County. Lake Forest is having a really good season. They're down in 3A. Glenbrook South has a really good team in 4A. New Trier is also a very good team. I think there's a team out in Glenbard West, I think, has a really good team this year as well, out there as well. Just from what you've been able to observe there at Shaw Media, how good are the teams out there? We got some good teams in McHenry County, might be able to make a run.
I don't know, John, honestly, and I'm not as involved even with Shaw Media. I'm really more doing news copy now. Don't follow it certainly as like I did before. I do know, like up here though, you know, Lake County, my old stomping grounds with the Daily Herald, on the girls' side anyway, real happy for Stevenson. I think they've lost twice all season. But that's a group, obviously, you know, we've had Ashley Graham, the head coach, on our show before. And, you know, kids like Simone Sawyer and Ava Bardick, really happy for them. Carmel, you know, our buddy Ben Berg there, With a couple of really great, great players in Grace Sullivan and Jordan Wood, and you got Libertyville, Emily Fisher. Like, I miss covering those kids. And, so the girls sort of, I'm probably paying a little more attention to the girls tournament right now, just because I know a lot of those players, from when I was last with the Daily Herald now two years ago, actually, you know, covering basketball. So I have a rooting interest for those teams. And, But we'll see. I'm just thrilled, and this is from the heart. I mean, like we were just talking, the three of us, about getting March Madness back. Again, it's because, again, even when the pandemic started, that's when we canceled it. Remember, the girls had their postseason, and then the guys were starting. We were in the sectional finals for the big schools, and then bam, everything was off. We didn't get the sectional finals. So then you're going back 3 years since we crowned a state championship. So it's really overdue. And there's few things like it in state, you know, high school athletics. I mean, football would probably be the only thing you compare it to. And football is kind of a different animal in itself. But I'm so excited to see March Madness. And I will have an interest once we see who's advancing downstate as we get a little closer, you know, the sectional finals and supers, that kind of thing.
Yeah, no, you mentioned Stevenson, our friend Ashley Graham, that having the best season, at least regular season, that they've had under Coach Graham, who's probably been there for 5 years now at this point, with Simone Sawyer, who just was named the North Suburban Conference Player of the Year, and some other contributors and younger players on that team. I think they got beat by Nazareth, I think, at the end of the season, which would be their competition if they potentially play down the road. That Nazareth team, from talking to Coach Berg, is pretty solid. But yeah, the Carmel Corsairs girls team, Jordan Wood, Grace O'Sullivan. I mean, you're talking about a team that could make some noise here in Class 3A. May have to face a Sycamore team, I think, in the Super Sectional that has lost one game this year. That could be the competition to get down state for Ben. But hey, Joe, we're rooting for friends of the podcast here, right? You know, anybody who's been on our show before, we're certainly rooting for them and their teams. And but as you said, even as a fan, I'm going to go out and get to as many games as I can. If girls, you know, maybe go watch some sectional games, watch some regional finals, and I'm going to get out as a fan many days next week, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, just to go out there and be there in these gymnasiums. And there's some energy and electricity, and there, you can tell from the games that I've been to a couple this year. Reminds me of football in the fall, because remember, football did not have a fall 2020 season. But just the packed gyms, and I think the level of fan engagement. I've seen more road fans during the football season last year going to, you know, busing up to road games. Same thing in basketball. So excited to see that and those packed gyms, and just kind of celebrate people being together and the participation aspect, and actually just watching some good basketball too. So. So good stuff. That's going to do it for our show today. Again, wanted that Kurt Gibson, not Kirk, Joe, Kurt.
Not
Gibson.
Kirk.
No, not
the old slugger.
Not the old slugger, no. And the Dodgers have won game one of the 1988 series. Joe Garagiola, right? And Ben Scully on the call there, right?
Poor Kurt. He's been getting that.
Kirk.
I mean, most guys, if you know a Kurt or a Kirk, you probably call them by the opposite name at one point in your life anyway. That's just one of those names, you know.
Yeah, and then you throw Gibson on top of it. Yeah, you know, so no doubt. We want to thank Kurt Gibson, our guest here, talking about boys basketball. Lots of good conversation with Kurt about the shot clock, as well as masking mitigations that are happening moving forward. And again, just sort of having the state tournament back. We'll be back next week with another episode of the John and Joe Show podcast. For Joe, I'm John. Say goodbye, Joe.
See ya.